Adam and Joe.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do.
Well, that's a disgrace.
Why?
I mean, it's a disgrace.
What's wrong with this?
Because it's just more pro-drug propaganda.
What were the lyrics? What was he saying?
He wants to get loaded, and he wants to get high, and he wants to have a good time. I think something like that.
What should he be doing?
He should be sitting down. And
yeah,
he should
cutting
be
back.
Exactly. And he should be thinking about things and what he's done. Not all what he was doing, jumping around with maracas, and there was a woman in there. It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace. We've got 3 hours of disgraceful tunes for you this morning here on BBC Six Music. This is Adam and Joe. Hello, I'm Joe.
I'm Adam. That was Primal Scream, incidentally. Dizzy Gillespie. He's responsible for it. Bobby and his gang. That was Loaded, of course. And yes, it's a delight to be with you. Although I'm disappointed to say the weather's not that. It's not that brilliant.
It's over.
Is it? It's not
yeah,
over.
Yeah, that was the summer. No, that was the summer.
Was it?
Yeah. Was just
good.
2 weeks.
It's good
winter
summer.
Now. Yeah.
It can't be over. No, it's going to come back, isn't it?
No.
Please tell me.
No.
Oh.
I think expect it not to. Then it'll be a pleasant surprise.
Right.
If it does.
Yeah.
We've got filthy music coming up for you by such bands as Vampire Weekend. Have you heard of them?
Disgusting.
Pigeon Detectives.
Oh, they are a problem.
The Guillemots.
They're
Gorkies,
okay.
The Mystery Jets.
Yeah.
Morrissey, it's so eclectic.
We might drop a couple of those.
Though. Sultans of Ping, we might drop Morrissey, maybe.
Oh,
he's too grumpy to
can't
play.
Drop Morrissey.
He gets angry. We won't drop Morrissey. Some Jane's Addiction. But coming up right now,
drop
it's some Ting Tings. You know all about the Ting Tings.
I actually
them.
Listened to the Ting Tings album.
Did you?
From the start until it finished.
Did you buy it?
No, it was a promo.
Really?
That we got sent through, but I thought, oh, I'm going to listen to this.
And how was it? Because it's time for people to kind of call the Ting Tings for what they are. There's an album out, they can't hide in an atmosphere of mystery anymore.
What would you call them?
I don't know. People are saying that it's Tony Basil for the noughties.
Exactly. It's a fun band. It's a kids band. You know, it's like a Bananarama album or something. And that's not to, you know, damn it with faint praise. Bananarama, I mean, that's good stuff there. But it's like a kiddies album.
In this month's NME, they have an interview with the Ting Tings explaining what this song is about. She says that it was because her name's Katie White, everyone at school called her Stacey Pike. I was like, that's not my name, you know, I'm not that forgettable, am I? It's also about feeling pigeonholed and written off. Bands hate being pigeonholed.
They don't like being put in boxes.
Pigeonholes should be banned. Everyone hates pigeonholes.
Exactly. Well, and bands loathe them, you're right.
Let's hear the Ting Tings then.
You keep playing me like a fruit machine, putting in change systematically, winning streak that you had over me.
That's about fruit machines, and that was Ting Tings. I think you were talking about the other single, weren't you?
Of course,
What's
yeah.
My Name? That's the one where she's had a problem with her name.
With being pigeonholed.
What did her friends call her?
Stacey Pike.
Stacey Pike, and her real name is Tina White or
Katie
something.
White.
Katie White.
Why yeah.
Did they call her Stacey Pike?
I don't know. It's very mysterious and exciting, her life. And their records. That was good. The Ting Tings, the latest big thing. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Coming up quite soon, this week's Song Wars.
I forgot about Song Wars.
Did you forget to do a song?
Almost. Almost.
It was a difficult one.
It was, wasn't it?
We decided at the very end of the show last week, we didn't think it through properly. We were going to do an alternative birthday song. And the one thing I feel that we forgot to factor in was the fact that the birthday song's awful. Happy birthday. It's not a good tune.
Mm.
It's not lyrically strong. It's very repetitive and it's very short.
Am I right in saying that it's no longer under copyright? There was some big legal...
Very angle. Possibly.
And, because famously, of course, Happy Birthday, for a long time, maybe still, was a copyright tune, owned by Warner Chappell, I think. If you were going to have that, you know, someone singing Happy Birthday in a film or a TV show, you would have to cough up quite a lot of money to ASCAP. And officially, I think in a restaurant, you're not even allowed to sing Happy Birthday.
Really?
Unless the restaurant...
Because that's a public place.
Yeah, but the restaurant has to pay money to ASCAP. Like, it has to have a sort of rights deal, you know? Otherwise, you can get busted. You can get arrested. And
so the idea of Song Wars is to cash in on that money train.
Exactly.
To try and create a song that would be definitively associated with birthdays. Mm. Get it. Copyrighted, patented, or whatever you call it, so that anybody who sings it has to pay, even the kids.
So the challenge was not so much to sing a song about birthdays as to actually sing a, to create a new birthday song that you would sing to a human person, or even an animal. Mm. Do you think you've done that?
Yeah, I've done it, sort of.
I'm going to stick my neck out and say that mine is one of the worst songs.
Oh, I was going to say the same
I've
thing.
I've ever done.
Really?
Or any human being. Has
really?
Ever. Yeah, I went out and bought the Flight of the Conchords album yesterday.
Did you?
I was listening to it, and I was kind of embarrassed and ashamed that I was involved in a similar area of, you know, effort.
I bet it's good. We'll find out how good those songs are or bad a bit later in the show, but here's some 808 State. It's like a sort of electronic forest.
That's like the music they play on airplanes if you are...
That's true, if you're about to panic.
If you're about to panic, you know, and also if you're a smoker and you're getting stressed out by there, you know...
Do you think it's got subliminal messages in it? Do you think Paul McKenna whispered something during the session?
Probably.
Paul McKenna.
He's a hair magician.
I don't even know who he is. Paul McKenna. I'm so confused. Paul McKenna is behind most ambient house music.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's right, and Darren Brown. If he teamed up with Darren Brown...
Imagine! You know, that's... this conversation is obviously jumping from subject to subject, but you've jumped it into a very interesting place. The government should insist that Brown and McKenna team up and fix the nation's problems.
It would be like Justice, the French group.
It would be like the Avengers, the Marvel superhero team.
Right.
If there were fewer people.
Well, a combination between the band Justice and the Avengers, the Marvel superhero team. But guaranteed to... I mean, that's a whole area that Darren Brown could investigate.
You have Paul McKenna. He's got healing powers, right? He's got healing powers.
Who says?
Everyone
says.
Is
that what he does?
The back of his book says, yeah, he can heal you of fear and pain and addiction. He's got healing powers. Darren Brown has mind control powers.
I was just going to say, because Paul McKenna, he's not going to do anything for you if you've got a broken leg.
You never know. You never know.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. I think they should have Dr. Tanya Byron on the team as well.
Who's Dr. Tanya Byron?
Who's Dr. Tanya Byron? She's a TV psychologist. She wrote the government's report on video games, I think. Uh-huh. And she does TV shows about sexual problems.
Right.
And that kind of thing.
She the blonde American lady?
No, she's got brown hair.
Oh.
She's sexy but stern and knowledgeable.
Oof, that's the ultimate sexy.
She should be on the team as well.
Yeah.
It's like a sort of a new team of British superheroes.
This is amazing.
It's like the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, that Alan Moore comic.
But
for the noughties.
Right, but they're just making ambient house tracks.
Well, they're releasing some ambient house tracks. The government issue them for free to everyone in the country to listen to.
Okay.
And they've got some subliminal messages, but then if there's major problems, they can be flown in.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Hey, this is exciting.
It is exciting. We need some more members for the team, though. Other people in Britain with magic powers.
Mind powers.
Maybe. Or any sort of power. Jeff Capes.
You know who could what?
He's a strong man. He could take care of the physical end
Jeff
of things.
Jeff Capes even with us still? I mean, they could be managed by Paul Daniels.
They'd be managed by Simon Cowell. Why would they be managed by Paul Daniels?
He's got magic powers.
He'd be on the team.
And he's got Debbie McGee.
But Simon Cowell would be back at headquarters.
He's in no way magic.
He is.
What's magic about him?
He's Mr. Magic. Showbiz magic.
That's a different kind of magic.
He controls fame.
That's a kind of magic.
Okay, here's a free play from De La Soul. This is from their 2004 album, The Grind Date. How many De La Soul albums can you name? 3 feet High and Rising.
3 feet High and Rising.
De La Soul is Dead.
De La Soul is Dead. I forgot it was that. They.
Balloon Mind State.
Oh, yes.
Stakes is High.
Wow.
Artificial Intelligence, Mosaic Thump.
Boy.
AOI colon Bionics.
That's a lot of albums they've
2001.
Got
and this one, The Grind Date, 2004.
You've got all those albums?
Most of them. Most of them are worth listening to.
Right.
They're really good. And this is some later De La Soul that you might not have heard, because everyone's always playing their Daisy Age sort of material. This is called The Grind Date. It starts off with some The Grind Date. Again, it's sitting in a cool voice. Did you hear that? This is The Grind Date. And it starts off with sort of nice, trippy singing. So here we go. Bye-bye, Zootons. Back to the 70s there with the Zootons.
Are you sure it was the Zootons? I thought it was Hoochie Packet.
Why are they called Hoochie Packet?
They're from 1976.
Of
that
course.
That was called Honey Sexy Woman Spangles.
Yes, Ken Spangles is the lead singer, isn't he?
Hoochie Packet are a big new band, and they're set to take over the world with their songs.
His name's not really Ken Spangles. The Ken will just be a stage name.
Hoochie Packet wear their hair down to their shoulders.
Disgusting.
Except the drummer, Michael, who's bald.
That's all you need to know about the
Hoochie Packet.
Hoochie Packet. That single's released digitally on the 19th of May and physically on the 26th of May.
That'll be a good day, man. Physical release. There's nothing like a physical release, is there?
Well, it certainly gets the tension out of my areas.
I like a physical release.
It's the first single to be taken from their new album, quote, You Can Do Anything, close quote, which is not the case, listeners. That's not true. You will
especially
be arrested for certain
had
things.
A drink and you're going up to save a balloon from some scaffolding. And you're dressed as a superhero.
That's true.
In that case, you can do almost nothing.
Yeah.
So forget
about it.
But
you can fly.
Forget about it. Get down off the scaffolding there. I was watching Donnie Brasco the other day. That's a good film.
That's a film with Johnny Depp in it.
Mike Nichols. Johnny Depp's amazing in that film.
Mike Nipples.
Mike Nipples directed it, yes.
The famous Hollywood director, Michael Nipples.
He's so hot right now.
Yeah.
Mike Nipples directed the one with Tom Hanks as well. What was it called? Did you see that one? Charlie Watson's War or whatever it was
Wilson's
called.
Wilson's
War. Wilson's.
Mm. No, I didn't.
Not bad. Not bad. And I was watching Donnie Brasco, and I forgot that...
Not bad, Nipples. Not bad.
Well done. Nice job, Nipples. The genesis of that phrase in, forget about it. I know it's like a mob phrase.
Oh, in the Hugh Grant comedy.
Yeah.
In Mickey Blue Eyes.
In Mickey Blue Eyes, when they're sat in the car, and it's him, and it's Hugh Grant and James Caan.
That's a fairly low-wattage Hugh Grant film. Not many people may have seen it, apart from
my mum's. One of my mum's favourites.
Really?
Yeah. Loves it. Hugh Grant at his Chuckles.
It's a fish out of water comedy. He's an English toff who has to pose as a kind of New York mobster, right?
Yeah.
And there's a scene where the only scene they ever showed in clips where he's attempting to do the Sopranos thing, even though it's pre-Sopranos, he's attempting to say that line, right?
Exactly. And James Caan is saying, come on, you know, just talk like a mobster, for goodness sake. Stop being foppish in English. Say, you know, forget about it. And Hugh Grant saying, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it. Mm. Or forget about it. Forget about it. No, come on. Forget about it. Like that. Forget about it. Forget about it. Forget about it. Anyway, that comes from Donnie Brasco. They say forget about it right the way through that. Like,
really?
To a ludicrous degree. Forget about it. You know? I'm going to say it throughout this show now, because forget about it can mean a whole lot of different
things. I can't wait.
Forget about it.
I think you should say it after every item of the news.
Forget about it.
In case there's anything really heavy.
Hey, forget about it.
Exactly.
Exactly. Now, here is the news. It is exactly 9:30 here at the Big British Castle.
On digital radio and online. BBC Six Music.
Panic in China over flood...
Boy, that's an epic, isn't it?
Mm.
No Cars Go. Is that the new single from the Arcade Fire? Nah, I was just playing it for the kicks, for the fun. That was from Neon Bible, of course. That was one of the big albums of last year. What do you has the big album of this year already come out? I wonder. Now we're...
It's the Ting Tings. It's the Ting Tings. thanks to Ben, who's emailed in and said we've got our mics mixed up. Of course, Mike Newell directed Donnie Brasco, not Michael Nipples. That wasn't the work of Nipples.
Which, who did Working Girl then?
That was Mike Nipples.
Is that Nipples, yeah?
Yeah. Nichols.
I've got a head for business.
Newell.
And a bod for sin.
Coffee, tea, me.
She doesn't say that.
Yes,
well,
she does.
Of course
she does. The most famous line.
Take the business spot for sin's the most famous line.
No. What, mate?
What?
No, Coffee Tea Me.
Yeah, you see, two against
head
one.
Head for business spot for sin?
It's a great movie, though.
I don't even remember Coffee Tea
What strange hair she's got in Working Girl. Every year that goes by, the weirder her costume looks.
Mm. It's very dated, that film.
Yeah, but it's good. Sigourney Weaver, one of the most... What?
They dance to that.
You got terribly confused this morning.
They dance to a song, don't they, by Krista Burge.
Sigourney Weaver's one of the most underrated female comic actresses. Can you have a female actress? Of the century.
Yeah.
Okay, full stop.
She's brilliant.
Nigel's emailed in and said, during the Ting Tings track you played earlier, my three-year-old daughter Daisy came in and said, quote, it's noisy, it's silly, and turned the radio off.
Oh, dear.
Does she win a prize? We can't give away prizes at the Big British Castle, but she would. For being the most opinionated person under five about contemporary music. You know, they say that culture is sort of devolving. Policemen are getting younger, you know, kids are becoming adults earlier. Mm-hmm. Pretty soon the pop market will be mainly the under fives. And the Teletubbies will be, or whatever it is now, in the Night Garden. Mm-hmm. Pingu will be some kind of Pete Doherty presented kids show.
I wouldn't mind. If it was Pingu, I'd be quite happy about it.
Really? Pete Doherty and Pingu?
Yeah, he's genius. They're all geniuses.
Really?
Pete Doherty and Pingu.
And Pingu, they should do a duet.
They should.
I think we should have Nigel's daughter Daisy program the show one week.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Jude's not looking so excited about that. Listen, coming up very soon, Song Wars, we've already warned you listeners that this could be the worst Song Wars ever. We chose a real stinker of a subject. I think we both had better things to do during the week, so we might have been, I was certainly pretty slapdash.
Mm.
I finished this song, I got halfway through my song, and thought, this is really poor. If I had any sense, I'd just scrap this and start again.
Right.
But I didn't really have time to.
Same here.
So I just thought, I'll finish it.
Usually I get through a couple of different versions before I settle on the final thing. You
Maybe
know.
We could invert the scoring, so the one that is worst wins? You know, you vote for how much you hate it, and the person who's sort of provoked the most vitriol amongst the listeners would win.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's like Evil Week.
We could certainly encourage
National Evil Week.
We could certainly encourage people to be as cruel as they like about
it. Well, that's coming up soon anyway, but first here's a free play from Dr. Buckles.
Dr. Buckles, I've chosen this one for you listeners, and it's from Weezer. They're a great band. Do you own any Weezer albums, Joe?
No.
Not even the first one, the green one with Buddy Holly on it and everything.
No, my bird might have it, I don't know.
Actually, that's blue, that one. The green one is the one.
Do they colour code them? That would be a good idea.
I don't know if they gave up on the whole colour coding thing, but I remember the blue.
Has
one
a band ever
one.
Done that? The blue album, the red. I mean, obviously the Beatles had the white album.
Yeah, but they didn't colour code all of them. No, it certainly would be a good idea. This was from the blue one, though, their debut album, and it's also I just remembered Rivers Cuomo is doing a thing at the moment on YouTube. If you go on there and type his name in, where he's encouraging his fans and people who are just happen to be wandering by to collaborate on writing a song with him. It's really entertaining, so it's all in different steps. The first step is he says, okay, I need a title for the song. You guys come up with a cool title, and we'll go from there. So lots of people suggest different titles. He says, okay, you know, Stig Farm, he suggested 80s radio. I enjoy it. That's a cool title. Let's go with that. Now I need some lyrics, and now I need
some
chords.
How do they do the actual music to it? People send in written music?
Yeah, people send in, like, them strumming, like, a chord progression.
Right.
And he says, okay, I like that chord progression. I'm going to put it in. I'm going to play it right now. So then he takes it on.
Very lazy.
To the next stage. It's really good.
How lazy.
It's very compelling. He films it in quite a weird way, and he sort of slows down his voice every now and again and does some unnecessary visual effects. But it's really good. I recommend it. Rivers Cuomo. Anyway, this is the first of a few kind of slightly holiday-themed tracks, because we're going to be taking a break, listeners. Next week we're going to be away, and someone will be filling in for us. So I'm choosing some holiday-type songs, and this one is called Holiday by Weezer. Enjoy!
It's time for Song Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs, so check it out.
It sounded so manky.
What, jingle. The link? The jingle?
Yeah, next to Weezer. That explosion of excellence there from Weezer. That was Holiday, of course.
Well, we should start as we mean to continue with mankiness.
Yeah.
We've already established, listeners, if you've just tuned in, that neither of us are proud of our efforts this week. We chose a stupid subject.
Well, it was a good subject. It was a good suggestion.
I don't think it was.
What was the name of the listener who suggested it again?
Oh, we're going to have to dig them up. We're not sure. Anyway, it's best to keep his name secret after this.
Was it Sonia from
Australia? Let's just say Sonia from Australia.
Listen, and Sonia, if we got your name wrong, I'm sorry. We're calling you Sonia for the purposes of today's birthday theme song.
Where have you even got that from, Sonia, from Australia?
I know there was an S in there.
You're going to be fired for that. Because it wasn't Sonia, and you're lying, and she's not in Australia, and the BBC don't tolerate that kind of thing. Get out.
Sandra
it is now. This is a complete chain of lies.
Samira. I'm just thinking, I know it was an S.
These are real people and you're destroying their lives.
She was in Australia, I'm sure she was. Anyway, she asked us to she said it was her birthday soon, and was there any chance that we could do a new birthday song in her honour? And we did that. Unfortunately, we got her name wrong and everything.
I'm getting this out of the way. I'm flicking the coin.
Joe's got the coin out.
Heads or tails?
This is for who goes first.
Yeah.
Okay, tails.
Tails. I'm fighting not to go first. It's heads.
It's heads.
So does that mean I get to choose? All right, I'm going to get my first. So mine is, the idea with my song, so the challenge, listeners, was to write a new happy birthday song, because every time people sing happy birthday, this may or may not be true, but it's a sort of urban myth. Is that good enough? That you have to pay for it. Certainly, if you use it in a film, you used to have to pay
for
it.
Well, it definitely was true.
It's a license to print money. If you couldn't... If you can write a new song, then you have a license to print. If you can get on the birthday song cash bandwagon, then you're rich. So we're trying to do that. My idea was to write a reply song.
Mm.
So you sing happy birthday at a birthday party, mm-hmm. and then the person who you've sung happy birthday to has to sing this back.
Right.
It's a reply song.
Got you.
So I'm going to play it now.
Okay, here we go.
So imagine happy birthday. You just finished singing happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Then the person you've sung it to sings this.
Thanks for singing happy birthday to me. It was slightly out of tune, but it was still lovely. The cake looks delicious and it's great you all came. I'll be careful not to set my hair alight on the flames. And thanks a lot for all the presents I got. Every single thing's a thing I wanted a lot. And I forgive you even though you went and forgot the batteries to operate that giant robot. My favourite people are all here in this room. My heart is like a giant love-filled balloon. But don't forget that it's my special day. That means you have to do exactly what I say. And I demand that everybody has fun, cause it's the day to take my age and add on a one. If we're over 18 we can get very drunk. If we're kids we'll pass the parcel, then we'll apple dunk. And maybe later I can go off and cry, get depressed about the speed the years gone by. Now that I'm older I can totally change, be sexy and cool instead of slightly strange. So thanks for singing happy birthday to me. I'm nearly 40 now, I feel like I'm 3. And thanks for singing happy birthday to me. Thanks a lot, no, genuinely.
Just insipid, just horrible, horrible.
I like the fact that your mid-Atlantic accent... Because you slightly
does
slide
it come
into
in and out.
It kind of comes in and out. And so at one point you talk about pass the passel.
Pass the passel. It's terrible.
Pass the passel.
I don't really want to play it ever again.
Well, that's what I was thinking with mine. I was thinking, oh no.
But now you're feeling a bit better.
We usually play them twice. This is going to drive everybody mental. No, what happened with mine was, I made a number of incredibly bad decisions. I sort of started off singing to myself, thinking that I was going to do a kind of country follow-up to my Christmas time one. Christmas country party time.
That's good. I like that one.
Sing like a kind of a country man from America. But it sort of went wrong, so I ended up just singing in a high voice, but with a bizarre American accent, kind of justifying it to myself that, well, in the olden days, everyone used to do American accents, even if they were British. Now, of course, that's incredibly... no one would even think about doing that. Everyone sings in their own accent. But I don't. I sing in American, in a kind of mangled American accent. Also, I've left a little gap for the person's name here.
Nice.
As well. So, Jude, if you leave the mic up, my mic up, then I'll put in Sonia's name, even though it might not be Sonia.
Even though she doesn't exist.
So I don't think there's anything more that needs to be said about my dreadful birthday song. Here it is.
Celebrate the fact you're still alive.
Hooray!
You came out of a woman, or possibly a tube, and ever since that day you have survived.
Well done!
And now it's birthday time, happy present time. We got some cake and wine and cake and food. It's birthday day, that wonderful time. You should eat the cake, if not it's rude. Today's the day, you will be happy all day, because we come to celebrate the day with you. We're singing to you, and we're looking at you, and now you should be smiling, it's a happy day. It's a birthday time, that joyful date, the same thing that you busted out the womb. Many years have passed since that painful day, who can tell how many more you'll make it through. Birthday cards, I bought a card and wrote your name within. I gave you the card, and now it's yours, and later you will put it in the bin. Birthday time, birthday time, why can't we live forever?
Oh dear. Busted out of the womb.
Yeah.
Since that painful day. You know what? I declare that song the winner. I think we should intervene and, like, negate the necessity for voting.
Well, listen, we got a message. It was not Sonia, of course. I don't know where I got Sonia in Australia from.
Sonia Nipples, the director of Marking Girl.
Mike's daughter. It was Claire in Guildford who suggested...
Same thing. Guildford, thing. Australia.
It's
Claire,
Sonia. She says, it's my 19th birthday next week. And this was the message we got last week. On my 19th birthday, so it'll be sometime this week. And like many people, I sometimes get tired of the plain old happy birthday song. Therefore, it would make my day if you came up with a new birthday song for Song Wars. Happy now? Are you happy now, Claire? We did.
I liked yours. I thought yours was good. At least yours was funny.
Well, I was trying to sing a bit like Brian Wilson. I had Brian Wilson in my head. You know, like late period Brian Wilson.
Well, he's kind
it
of
worked
red,
for me.
And he's just singing out of one side of his mouth because he's deaf in one ear.
I like it. I vote we never play my song ever again.
Your song was all right.
No, it wasn't.
Pass
it was
tassel.
Awful. It was awful.
It was fine.
Fine. Yeah. Anyway, that was Song Wars for this week.
Are we going to play, later on, we should play the one from Look Around You.
Yeah, we brought that in, Look Around You, the popular BBC Two comedy series. They did a birthday song, we'll play that later. Let's have some real music now, can we?
Yeah, this is Hot Chip with One Pure Thought.
Thank God.
Very good. That's one pure thought by Hot Chip. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
You might remember, if you've been listening for a little while to this morning's show, before that song, there were some other noises you heard that we'd made for Song Wars. They were very poor, and we've had various text messages in. Michael from Malden says, thanks, I just wet myself.
Is that a good way?
Will, I don't know. Will and Kate... It depends where the fluid came from. Will and Kate in Eastbourne said, you should both be ashamed of yourself. Someone liked your song a lot. They remain anonymous.
Brian Wilson.
Someone says, can't you go away right now? Nil Points, says Michael again. So do vote for your favourite of those two, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. We will be away next week. Someone will be filling in for us. So the winner will be announced online, and we will renounce it. Yeah, renounce the whole flipping thing when we get back in a couple of weeks.
That's right. I think we probably are going to have to play them again later on.
I really don't want mine ever played
again. Oh, come on. It wasn't.
No, nobody wants it played again. No, you don't. You're just standing on ceremony. You don't want to hear it again.
You could
come on, Adam, you don't want to hear it again.
Man, it was fine. It was fine.
Fine's not good enough.
Listen, you should do a commentary through it.
I'm ashamed of it.
Do an audio commentary when we play it next.
But that won't make it any better.
Well, it'll add something.
To nothing. I don't listen. Let's talk about this during the records. I really don't want
you shouldn't
to play
don't get down on it, man. It's fine.
No, I'm just being realistic. It's just awful.
You know, some weeks we pull it out of the bag, other weeks we leave it in the bag.
Well, then why bring the bag in?
Because that's the nature
just
of the thing,
the
isn't it?
Just leave the bag at home.
Everyone has a little off album.
People have heard it now. They don't need to hear it again ever.
Okay, it's 10 o'clock here at the Big British Castle, just after. Shall we have some kind of a trail to mark the occasion?
Yes, please!
BBC. Six. On digital.
That's We Are Scientists with Chick Lit.
Come to my party, pom pom! I'm having a poo poo party, pom pom! That's what I'd say to them. Absolutely. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. We're keen fans of The Apprentice, as you'll know if you're a regular listener.
Oh, I missed it this week.
If you're in the foreign areas, it's a programme where people compete to be the lackey of a sort of man what makes computers, Sir Alan Sugar. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I find amusing about it, and this is a bit late in the day to be making this comment because they choose their team names in the first episode, is their team names.
Right.
Apex. Pinnacle. Yeah. Stuff like that. You know, when they make phone calls and they use their names of their stupid teams on the phone. Hey there, this is Alex from Sheen. That's what my team would be called, Sheen.
Sheen.
What would your team be called?
What, Sheen from Richmond?
No, just Sheen, as in sparkle.
Right, not East Sheen.
Gloss, maybe Gloss.
Mine would be called, can you invent words?
Yes.
Ambitializer.
The Ambitializers.
Yeah, because they're, like, visualizing their ambitions.
I'd call my team the Winners, with a Z.
Or the Visualists, or something like that.
The Winners, with a Z, is good. But it's always Apex, yeah. Pinnacle. What are they called this year?
I'm not sure.
What are they called? Claire knows. She's coming in. They're called Zenith.
Renaissance.
Renaissance, they're the stupidest names in the world.
That's good, man. That's the world of business for you, though.
But it's too generic.
Right.
You wouldn't hire a company just called Pinnacle, would you?
I would, because they're the pinnacle. They're right at the top there.
I think the other one's Alpha.
Alpha.
Brilliant.
That's right, not Beta.
No,
that would be the second best.
That would be the B-team.
Yeah, and certainly not Ceta. Does that exist, even? I don't know.
Theta does.
Alpha.
Ceta.
Team Alpha? What would be better than Alpha?
Alpha Plus.
Yes.
Alpha
Plus.
Uber Alpha.
Uber Alpha Plus.
Mega Alpha.
That would be good if the first team named themselves Alpha. Yeah. Second team came out with Uber Alpha Plus. The first team would be furious. And then if they were fighting over some kind of contract, Uber Alpha Plus would get it.
You know what would be better? Alpha Max.
This is Jeffrey calling from Team Alpha Max. We'd very much like to order 400 tissues. And we want to get them for a fiver.
I love their haggling, their business haggling. Well, in the when they were in the souk the week before last,
right?
All their tactics are, you know, like I say to you, you're a man in the souk. I say, how much is this carpet, please? And you say,
I say £400.
£400. Can you make it £200?
No.
Oh, bye. that's the extent of their haggling. But I've only got £200. No, I'm sorry, £400. That's it.
Okay, bye. We've got to go on the Celebrity Apprentice.
Is there a Celebrity Apprentice?
We've got to make it happen. Mm. There must be one. I want to go, we'd win, and we'd call ourselves Team Maxi Alpha
Pad. Well, they did invite us on the, one, Celebrity Your Five.
Did they?
Yeah, but I haven't heard back from
them. No, they've booked bigger names.
I think they got it.
We only get put on programmes if someone drops out at the last minute.
That's true.
They're desperate.
For the dropout guys.
Coming up soon, listeners, text the nation, but first of all, here's some real music.
Well...
It's the Sultans of Ping FC with Where's the Jumper? Where's me jumper?
Where's jumper? Sultans of Ping FC with a bit of enjoyable indie fun from the north of England. That was from the early 90s. Where's me jumper? It's called, that's how they pronounce it.
Where's me jumper?
Where's me jumper?
Well, there you go. That's how to speak if you're in the countryside today.
Only joking, people in the north, please don't hurt me. Now here's the jingle for Text the Nation.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
Yes, it's Text the Nation time. This is the part of the show where we offer you a kind of a premise, and you write things and send them to us, and we read them out.
We stole this off Danny Baker.
Yeah, he invented it, and we're the second show to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry if it's frightening or confusing in any way. The subject of Text the Nation this week is... sort of juvenilia,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you think of a better term? Like stuff you authored when you were a kiddie.
Juvenile fiction.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I was quite a precocious child.
Brass.
Didn't know my limits.
Yeah.
Reckoned myself as a bit of an auteur. Mm. And I think maybe a lot of other listeners out there were the same. You know when you're young and you discover sort of books and plays, you discover the idea of authorship,
mm-hmm.
that people actually go out and write these things and then their names are put on books in big silver letters and it's all exciting and stuff.
And if you've got ideas above your station...
You try it yourself. So I'm talking, listeners, about things you self-published or authored when you were a child. For instance... I was very keen on comics. I decided to launch my own comic in my household,
right.
which consisted of my mum and dad and my brother.
Yeah.
Thought that was a perfect readership, that I'd issue a comic every week. It was called Foxy. I didn't know the connotations of that word. It was it was just had a kind of a fox, a gentleman fox.
It's got an X in it, so it's always good, you know, at
yeah.
that age,
yeah.
with an X in.
And I think it was about, it was maybe two or three A4 pages folded in half and stapled down the middle, and I drew every copy by hand.
So it was actually about a fox man.
Yeah, that was the lead character.
Right.
Foxy. And I think it had letters and puzzles and stuff. The letters might have been quite pointed complaints about my brother messing up my room and stuff. But I think it lasted for 2 weeks, Foxy, and it circulated in the Cornish household. Then when I got a bit older, I got a bit obsessed with Tintin and stuff like that, so I invented a character called Foggo.
Foggo.
And he was like a boy detective, and he went round the world and he had a series of novels.
Where'd you get the name Foggo, like Phileas Fogg?
I don't know. Foggo, he was called.
Phineas, rather, yeah.
And the Foggo novels were a smash hit with my mum. She was very keen on them. I used to laminate them using sellotape, you know, because I couldn't afford actual see-through sticky-back plastic. So I'd just wrap sellotape round them very carefully.
And you still
aligning.
Got Foggo, because now, of course, the top layer would have peeled off and there's just yellow crust. And
yeah, that happens.
Right.
But I think my mum still has Foggo's adventures.
Imagine how much a first edition of Foggo would
imagine.
Be. Or Foxy.
Well, they're very limited. I think Foxy's lost. There may be one copy of Foxy in the
Forbidden
British
Planet.
Museum.
Do you reckon?
In the British Museum.
In the British Museum?
Yes.
Not Forbidden Planet.
No.
No.
No. And then after that, when I got a bit older, maybe 11, I tried to write a Frederick Forsyth-style thriller.
Was it sexy at all?
It may have had an erotic scene. In fact, that may have been where it ended, because I couldn't get beyond it.
I couldn't concentrate. Sauciness.
It was called The Jigsaw Man.
Ooh, hey, that's a real film, though, isn't it?
Very possibly. I thought that was a brilliant idea. The opening scene was on an oil rig,
mm-hmm.
and a man is murdered on the oil rig, and all he's murdered for is an envelope containing a piece of a jigsaw. Isn't that brilliant?
That is brilliant?
Is it brilliant?
Yeah.
I thought it was at the time.
That's good. How old were you?
Maybe 11 or 12.
No.
So we'd like you to send in whatever happened to that promise, eh?
Yeah.
We'd like you to send in things that you authored as a child. So describe us, if it was a series of something, or a character you made up, or a play that you wrote, or maybe you tried to write a film script, or you tried to write music, or something you authored when you were very young that you can still remember. Mm. I'd especially enjoy it if it was the name of a character and an adventure they went on.
And if you can quote any of it, of course, so much the better. Hey, how about this? Can we expand it to poetry as well?
Poetry, what you wrote when you were sort of under 13, yeah. 12 or 13. I mean, I suppose just, so.
You know, in case, I personally did not write poems when I was that age, but in case we have any super precocious...
You must have tried to write some kind of a book, didn't you?
The only thing, I wrote something called the Bog Roll Chronicles.
There you go.
I was at school, I got a big roll of pink toilet paper, and it was mainly the act of doing it that I was interested in rather than the story, and I just want... The idea was to write a story that lasted the entire length of the lavatory roll without breaking any of the segments off, you see. And
how did it go?
I wrote it in biro. I finished it. It was amazing. It was an amazing kind of performance piece more than a story, I think. The story was rubbish.
Can't remember what it was called?
It was... No, it was just called The Bog Roll Chronicles. Oh, right. And it was about me and my friends at school. And it was about what we were going to be doing 5 years in the future. Because I was obsessed with the song 5 Years by David Bowie. Mm. So it was all about us meeting up in 5 years' time in Leicester Square and finding out what had happened to us. And we were all famous. We were film stars. Alison's become a film star. She's beautiful. She still loves me.
It sounds good. Have you still got it?
Somewhere I do, yeah.
Or did you run out of lavy paper one day? Worst came to the worst. So that's Text the Nation. The text number is 64046. Or the email, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Now, here's a free play. This is by Fleet Foxes. You played a Fleet Foxes free play the other week, didn't you, Adam?
May have been this one.
Was it?
Was it not?
I was worried about that. Oh. I think yours was maybe from their EP, Sun Giant, because this is their album that's not out until next month.
Right.
But if you did play this, I don't mind, because it's so good.
It's brilliant.
This band are really great. They're a bit like Cosby, Stills and Nash meet the Beach Boys meet the Proclaimers.
Bill Cosby, Stills and Nash, is that?
Is that what I said? Crosby. I forgot the R.
Cosby.
That would be a better band.
That would be good.
This is from their forthcoming album, Fleet Foxes, by Fleet Foxes. This is called... What's it called?
Ragged Wood.
There you go. That is really good, that Fleet Foxes album. If you like that kind of thing, you should get it when it's released next month, because it's really good. Am I made that clear?
Told you you'd like it, didn't I?
You did. Adam picked it out of the inbox and gave it to me, and it's a big smash in our house.
It's both Wickleys and Wockleys.
What Wockleys? They're very young. They're in their very early 20s.
Are they?
Yeah, yet they sing like ancient mountain men.
They look like ancient mountain
they
men.
They do.
They're all hairy men.
They've got it all going on. I'd love to see them play when they come. I think they're at the Yulu or something, the University of... What's that place
King's
called?
College, London, I think.
King's College. When's that happening?
June the...
I want to go. I want badges and hats and... I'm going to be a big fan of
fun toot horns. Will you take a fun toot horn?
I will take several fun toot horns, but they won't be in my mouth.
They'll be
in my pocket. Sick woman.
What if there's a physical release,
Adam? A physical release? There may well be a physical release during Fleet Foxes.
That would interfere with a fun toot horn.
Hey, listen, can I just read you a few emails that have come in response to the worst song wars in history?
Oh.
Could this be the worst song wars in history? Could these be the worst songs ever written? Here's one email that's come in from Gareth Jones. Hi, guys. Joe's song is about as exciting as a dialing tone. It's hard to believe that the creative genius behind Dr. Sexy has turned out something so utterly devoid of merit. As for Adam, while it was nice to hear the return of the country Christmas party time voice, I can't make up for the fact that the tune sounds like something that could have been a theme to a show such as Going for Gold in the 80s. Having said that, the longing of the closing, why can't we live forever line, did resonate with me slightly. So he's voting for Dr. Buckles.
Wait a
second,
is that Gareth Jones as in Gaz Top, I wonder?
Probably.
Yeah.
I can guarantee that Gaz Top, he's our target listener, Gaz Top.
I'd be delighted if
Tim Bunce, another one, he says, Adam and Joe, I'm going to have to go for Joe's song this week.
Mm-hmm.
Extraordinary behaviour.
Told you.
I love how there's a different option depending on whether you are over or under 18. However, you still have to sing both options. That's great. You've found something to love. It's also a nice alternative to get a song in return for the out-of-tune singing we shower the person celebrating their birthday with. Adam's song was very irritating, although listening to Adam's voice began to strain as the song got more and more high-pitched. Was rather amusing, says Tim. And finally, Paul Rosie says, Song Wars has been patchy in the past, but this week you've reached a new low. I cannot bring myself to vote for either. Please do not play them again. Yours, Paul from Hastings.
Fair enough, Paul. Well, I think we are going to play them again, though.
Oh, do we have to? I really don't want to play mine. Nobody wants to hear mine.
They do. I think, again, I think we should do an audio commentary. You also have the option of cutting it short.
So I'll sing something else over it. Here's a trail.
BBC Six Music.
Forget the night. Live with us in Forests of Azure.
I was going to say that myself before, but...
That guy's got extra drums, hasn't he?
Jim last one set of drums, I think.
Really? Yeah, there's extra toms there. He slipped in a couple of juicy toms.
That was The Doors with The Wasp, brackets, Texas Radio and The Big Beat. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's time now for the news, read by Rachel Matthews and Andre Payne.
On digital radio and online, BBC Six Music.
Flood fears spark panic in China.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
It's Text the Nation time. Before that, you heard Morrissey. What was that Morrissey song called?
All You Need Is Me.
Morrissey, the grumpy controversialist from Los Angeles. Is that fair enough?
It's an accurate description.
Thank you. Text the Nation this week, listeners. We're asking you about juvenilia, great works of literature or playwriting or screenwriting or drawing or anything, really, that you did when you were, you know, very young. And one's come in from Caroline. This is a fairly straightforward one. Just to set the tone, Caroline Wright. She says, Hi, Adam and Joe. As a small child, I was quite a prolific writer, authoring numerous books and collections of poetry. Perhaps my finest work, my opus, if you will, was a series of novellas about a character called Colin the Pancake. These stories chronicled the lives of Colin and his pancakey pals. I believe my mum still has the first editions.
Colin the Pancake is a good idea. I would not think of writing a book about a pancake.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah. What is it about a pancake that suggests...
Nothing. there's nothing about a pancake that suggests anything. I like the fact that the mum still has the first editions. My mum has a drawer with all of my books, Foggo and possibly Foxy,
right,
in there. Mothers are probably the only people who would treasure such publications.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
You did The Gruesome Gang as well, right?
That was in my later years. That was an exciting comic strip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was very good. I was heavily influenced.
It was based a bit on DR and Grinch from 2000 AD.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that strip?
No, I never read comics, you see.
It's a good comic. Here's one from Steve Curran. He says, When I was about 5 or 6, I attempted to produce a series of Action Force-inspired comic books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's Action Force? Was that a figure or a comic? I think it was probably a sort of boys' war comic book.
It's a whole alien world to me.
His Action Force-inspired comic book was called, open quotes, capital letters, Steven! Exclamation mark, close quotes. Brackets, naturally, I was the hero.
That's a good idea for a book.
I have a vivid memory of being halfway through drawing the title page for one edition when I was called into the next room to have my dinner. No doubt with the word, Steven! Which is less action-packed. When I returned, I discovered that my older brother had made his own contribution to the page, completing the half-written title STEP with In Poo. Step in poo. Very clever, but I still haven't quite forgiven him. Yours, Steve Curran.
That would have been good.
Highbury.
And the Stephen had an exclamation mark, right, at the end?
Yeah. That series of films would rival the Bond films.
And the Bourne films as well.
And the Bourne films.
Matt Damon is Stephen.
Stephen!
And you could have, like, a lightning strike for the S.
When
Stephen.
People got in trouble, they would shout, Stephen! Yes! That would be one of the scenes.
Stephen! Yes!
I'm in trouble!
Okay.
Hang on! I'm coming! Exclamation mark!
You can get Morrissey to be in it as well.
Why?
Because he's called Stephen.
Really?
Yeah, he would relate to that easily.
Wow.
That's a very good idea.
I think you should keep the film rights available for that, Steve.
Steven! Yes!
Here's one from David Millen. He says, when I was about 10, I wrote a screenplay heavily influenced by the Die Hard films. It had way too much swearing in it, dragged on for about 6 pages, during which the narrative completely crumbled. It included the lines, quote, holy crap, I've been shot, and, quote, call for backup now. Those are good lines.
You're fine with those lines. What are you talking about?
Then, trying to get it published, I sent it off to one of those newspaper advertisements which said writers get paid per word in a vain attempt to earn some money. They sent it back.
Did they?
How stupid of them. What? Hey, it couldn't have been worse than Die Hard 4.
Couldn't have been worse than a lot of stuff in cinema.
Steven!
Yep! Just coming!
Here's one from Hannah. When I was younger, I made a series of books about a man named Chip. He had quite a life, with his girlfriend Rachel and dog named Biff. His stories were well known in the Arif family.
How old was he when he wrote this?
She, Hannah.
Hannah.
Younger. My parents feigned interest in him quite convincingly, but my siblings were less kind, taunting me for my obsession with Chip. However, I may have been blessed with literary talent, but my artistic skills left a lot to be desired. Mm. As a result, Chip was, well, a stick man with a top hat. Nevertheless, he lived life to the full. Do you think, Chip, do you like the sound of Chip?
No, not so much. Not so much. It sounds a little bit dull. No offence, Hannah, but maybe for girls that would be a better story. I don't know.
Why?
You know, they like things like that.
Jay Sutcliffe says, my teacher at age 10 frowned upon my cartoon character, Peter the Pervert. I didn't know what a pervert was, so he was just a slightly evil-looking toff who played with other people's feelings and minds a little. I think he wore a black cape, top hat, monocle, and sported a pencil-thin moustache. I can't remember what happened in his only story, but given that my name is Sutcliffe, I perhaps now understand why Miss whatever her name was troubled.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't understand what the word pervert meant for a long time, and I agree with you that a guy with a top hat and a monocle would be just about what I was thinking.
That is, you can get arrested for that these days, wearing a monocle.
Let's have some more of those in a while. Right now, here is a free play for you listeners. I chose this one. This is a band called Bent. And
well, hang on a second. Yeah. What is this band called?
Well, it's a duo. They're an electronic duo called Bent, and they do a lot of fairly gay-themed stuff. This is not an overtly gay-themed song, but it's a good one. And what's the album called? I don't recall. It may be their debut album, but it's really good. All their stuff's pretty excellent. I don't know if they're still around anymore or not. I hope they are. But anyway, this is the first track on their album, which is called, ooh, look, I'm being handed it right here. Ah, there we go. Yeah, Programmed to Love is the album, which is a smash. And this is the first track on there. You can kick it off now, Jude, because it has a kind of a mellow beginning, you see. And this is another kind of holiday track I was thinking.
This is so Bent.
It is a little bit Bent. It's called Exercise One. That's an absolute peach. Exercise One by Bent. And, of course, Bent is still going. I was just reminded of their track last year. What was it?
To Be Loved.
To Be Loved. There you go. That was very good. And who was it that just texted us there and emailed us?
Ben in London.
Ben was saying, yes, of course, they're still going. And he was remembering that Bent, when they were promoting their first album,
a good idea might be for Jude, our producer, to present this programme.
Yeah.
And we could just chip in, you know, with bits every now and then.
I was going
to
say,
when it comes to actual facts and knowledge.
Yes, that's true.
She's the linchpin.
She's the woman.
The David linchpin.
But anyway, Bent, when they were promoting their first album, they had they had tokens for drinks at the bar, which were 9 bob notes. You see?
Bent is a 9 bob
note. Exactly.
Turning all those nasty, homophobic insults back in people's faces.
Right back in their faces.
Right back in their faces, just like what they deserve. We're in the middle of Text the Nation. We're asking you to send in examples of childhood authorship, books or comics or plays, films even, ambitious projects that you embarked on as a child and perhaps never finished or perhaps did finish. Are you ready for some more, Adam Buxton?
Steven!
That's the new action film. franchise. It's big. It's going to blow all the others out of the water. It's very exciting. His friends call him Steve.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so don't expect him to be called Steven all the way through the film.
Well, that ruins it, doesn't it?
My name's Steven, but you can call me Steve.
Ooh. Well, no, that's just maybe for the sex scenes.
Right. But there are a lot of... I've noticed there are a lot of sex scenes in Steven. There's an unusual amount.
It's absolutely filthy.
He spends more time having sex and solving problems.
Steven.
It's one of the interesting things about it as a franchise.
Oh, Steven.
Oh, Steven.
Steven.
Steven! Oh, dear. Okay, here are some more that have come in. This is from Neil in North London. I made a tabloid paper called the Daily Scandal, aged 14. It was full of salacious filth, and now I'm a journalist. That sounds very convenient.
Mm.
I'd like to know more about that, Neil. What was it full of scandal about your family?
Daily Scandal.
That could be very divisive.
Is that real scandal? I remember doing a parody of the Sun newspaper.
Nice. Was it called The Scum?
No, it wasn't. Because I thought that would be too obvious.
Too obvious.
Guess what I called it?
What?
The
Nice.
What the hell was I thinking? That's not... How does that work? U-U-M. That's what my...
That's good. It's clever. It's less obvious.
It's much less obvious.
It's all the way down the other end of the obvious scale.
Yeah.
Here's one from Lucy in Leamington Spa. Hi, Adam and Joe. When I was 8, I entered a poetry competition with a poem entitled When the Black Seagull.
Mm-hmm.
This was about birds dying in oil spills. It goes something like this. When the black seagull cries, so will I. When the black seagull dies, so will I, so will I.
Ah, I was waiting for that. The repetition.
From Lucy. That's quite good, isn't it?
That's very good.
Sounds very emotional.
How old was she?
She doesn't say... No, 8. She says she's 8.
8. That's amazing for 8, isn't it? She's got the whole... That's all you need to know about poetry right there.
Things like that are very emotional when you're a child. You can't believe the seagulls are dying in the oil slicks.
It's worth a repetition.
When you're grown up, you still care, but less.
So will I. So will I.
Alistair McAllister. Could that be real? Well done if it is. Says, authoring, eh? I made up a detective duo called Egghead and Nuts. Egghead was a giant egg in big boots, and his sidekick was a little yellow man who wore a cap and smoked a pipe. Their meeting place was the shed at the bottom of the garden, and they travelled between missions on a bogey, brackets, northern word for go-kart, made from an old door. I never wrote a word, but drew some fabulous elaborate pictures. Never wrote a word.
Egghead and Nuts.
Yeah.
That's very good.
That could be big.
That could easily.
Sell that to Ragdoll Productions.
Come on.
Stuart in Cambridge. The Adventures of Knight Rider and the Ewoks.
Okay.
I was 7, and there were about 6 illustrated short stories. My mum still has some.
He's way ahead of the curve.
He's mashing stuff up.
That's like AVP.
It is, isn't it? Knight Rider and the Ewoks. They what would they be crammed on the back seat? Does Knight Rider even have a back seat?
What do they say, the Ewoks?
Michael, who are these strange furry passengers?
They don't say, ooh, teeny. That's the Jawas. But they say just, tuck, 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 tuck. Something like that.
Hi, Adam and Joe. I wrote a book of poems called Say It With Snails. From Helen in Wallasey. Yeah.
That's it. Say it with snails.
What would you say with snails?
You have to say...
That could be the world's most unsuccessful shop.
What's she going to do? Is she not spelling words out with snails? She's just sticking them onto things.
It's a book of poems called Say It With Snails.
That's what I'm saying.
Helen, we need to know more about Say It With Snails. If you could say something with snails.
What was that laugh, Jude?
Jude's losing control. Here's another one. Adam and Joe, I wrote some super spooky Halloween music on my dad's synthesizer with me saying that ghosts were going to get my school friends.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 7, I was prevented from taking it into school to play...
Too terrifying.
...after a successful campaign orchestrated by my school friend's parents on the phone to my parents, says Robin. It was banned for threatening that his friends would be got by ghosts.
Banned at 7 for being too bizarre.
I've never understood how ghosts can get anybody. I mean, they can't touch anything. They're intangible.
They can get your mind, though. Have you not seen, like, The Grudge and all that stuff?
No, you're right.
They get you easily.
That's true. Here's one more. This is
I'd like
a good
to know
one.
What Robin's doing now, though, if he's up to that kind of shenanigans at 7.
That's true. Maybe he's some kind of electro rock star.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that Chris Cunningham was probably doing.
Here's a final one. When I was 12, I created a computer games magazine at school reviewing Spectrum and C64 games. I called it Thallium.
Nice.
Named after the chemical element. Sold 3 pre-copies for 50p. It never got made. I was £1.50 up, though. I put it towards a copy of Outrun.
Thallium. Outrun?
Yeah.
Wow.
Brilliant.
You used to love Outrun, didn't you?
I did. It was very good.
That was good. We'll have more of those in a bit.
Keep those coming in. The text number is 64046.
It's trail time.
We've kicked off our summer festival ticket giveaway, and right now you can register online.
Touch the Sky. Now, is that better or worse than Just Move On Up by Curtis Mayfield?
Well, that's an interesting question, isn't it?
Because
it's very obviously heavily sampled. I'd say that it's not necessarily better or worse.
I would say that it's worse.
Would you?
Yeah, not that much worse, but you know, and that's saying something because you know, Move On Up's very good. That's sort of enjoyable, isn't it? Bit of Kanye West there, but it's not as good, though, is it? I mean, if you're going to have to choose one of those two tracks, you may as well just go for Move On Up.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
I suppose so.
I mean, even the Jam version. Was it the Jam or just Paul Weller solo or the Style Council that did a version?
Probably the Style Council.
Style Council.
I like that, though. Kanye West with Touch the Sky. That's all right. It's not his best single.
No. Listen,
but
I'm
it's
just
still
saying,
good.
When it comes down to it, that's all I was saying, in a battle to the death.
Yeah. This is Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music, by the way.
And it's still a little bit overcast. I'm a bit disappointed with the weather. Sorry about that, listeners, I get easily distracted.
You're like an old bit of seaweed hanging from a beam.
From a rafter. Was it that you said? A rafter. I went shopping this week. I went on a shopping trip, folks, and I went into lots of high street stores, and I was on a mission because, in fact, the weather was being disappointing, and it was a little chilly. And this is exactly what we were talking about last week. One of the downsides of summer sometimes is that you're ill-equipped clothes-wise. You think it's going to be a scorching day. You go out in your shorts and your T-shirt. The night closes in and it gets a little chill. Everyone's still sat outside.
It does get cold in the evening, so take a jumper.
Please take a jumper.
Please take a jumper. It can be very deceptive. Plus, the air conditioning's in the cinemas is really very cold.
Exactly.
So even if it's a hot day and you go into a shop or a mall, do take a woolly.
You know, the worst one is sometimes when it's when it's very hot outside and you go in to the supermarket and the temperature plunges.
Especially in the ice area.
In the ice area, you are stuffed if you haven't
got the frozen food section.
You haven't got a cardi with you. You know, and maybe you thought, I'm not going to take a cardi out because what am I going to do? Tie it round my
British supermarkets.
Or, you know, or you're round my waist. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to not take a cardi. Anyway, so I was trying to remedy the situation by just buying some clothes on the spot, right? I just thought, I'm going to go into a shop and I'm going to buy a sweatshirt just to help me through this cold spat that I found myself in. So I went into a popular high street store beginning with a G with two other letters after it and rhyming with rap and not Gap though, a different one. And I was looking for some clothes there, and a lot of the sweatshirt that I was most keen on getting, right, was just a very plain green one. Didn't have like a big logo all over it, so I thought that'd be good. But I noticed that they do this thing now with a lot of clothes. This isn't just the store that I went into. This is a lot of other stores do this as well. Is they do like little distressing things, customized.
It's very fashionable, yeah.
Right.
Faded, ripped,
but in exactly the same place over and over again. So you look through the racks, right, and you look at these sweatshirts, and each one of them has like a little distressed nick in exactly the same place. What is that all about?
It's very trendy. Good?
Yeah, but explain to me the logic. What are they thinking?
It's they've all been to the same Wicked Club.
Right.
Which has wooden walls in New York.
And there's splinters.
And if you lean it in the coolest place to stand in that club, if you lean against that particular bit of wall, it rips your jumper there.
I mean, I was very close to purchasing this item, right? Because I thought, this is a nice item, I like the colour, etc., etc. But then I thought, I can't, in all good conscience, start purchasing clothes that are pre-distressed.
I tell you, if you were a hip-hop fan, you could buy an article of clothing that would have, this is a bit tasteless, but it could have bullet holes.
Right.
Of where your favourite hip-hop artist was shot.
Do they really exist, those things?
No, I'm making it up.
Oh, I see.
And it could, you know, R.I.P.
I bet they do exist.
B.I.G.
Yeah.
And it would have the bullet holes in exactly the right place.
Right.
Yeah?
Would you have blood stains on there?
Yes. Yes. Right. Yes, you would.
I bet you they'll probably turn up in the high street very shortly, I would imagine. Have you ever bought anything pre-distressed, like anything with a, you know, like a logo on it or whatever, a sort of iron-on patch that looks as if it's faded?
No, I draw the line there.
Yeah.
I do my own distressing.
Of course. Of course you do.
My life's quite distressing enough without having to import it.
Because the whole philosophy, presumably, of these things is they want these items of clothing to look like your favourite old sweatshirt or your favourite old T-shirt. And it has to be your, like that. You can't just say your. It's got to be your favourite old blah, blah, blah. But that's insane. If you start buying your favourite old sweatshirt pre-your favourited, then things have gone
the
wrong.
The most terrifying thought is, who is distressing them?
Right.
And it's some little Indian kid, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For no money.
Well, it's probably not. I mean, sweatshop. The ones I was looking at, it's got to be robots.
Really?
Yeah. Because they were exact. I mean, every single little bit of distressing was identical from shirt to shirt.
It's ridiculous.
It's gone mental.
What's the world coming to?
Well, that's what I want to know.
Thanks a lot, Tony Blair. The sooner that guy's out of office, the better.
Thanks a lot, Al Gore.
Millennium Dome. What a disaster.
Absolutely.
The congestion charge.
It's an eyesore.
It's ridiculous.
Thanks, Al Gore. Now, here's the Pigeon Detectives. They're putting everything right with a track called This Is an Emergency.
If there was a real emergency, that song would not be a legitimate way to raise the alarm.
I think it would, you see.
Would you think it would clear the area?
Definitely. No, well, it wouldn't clear the area, but it would make people aware that something serious was happening, and also people would enjoy it while they were being made aware of that.
Maybe it should be installed into alarm systems.
Definitely installed into the Thames flood barrier, you know? Did you see, you didn't see that show the other day with David Suchet in it?
No.
David Suchet? All about what would happen if London flooded.
Flood, it was called.
Flood.
It wasn't a show, it was a pretend, sort of, TV film.
It was a show, though, it was on TV.
Yeah, to have Robert Carlyle in it, didn't
yes, it? Yes, it did, yeah.
Being all serious.
That's right.
Looking worried.
They were all looking worried. They were all doing their best to look worried.
Was it good?
Well, I only watched 10 minutes of it, but,
Was it good, though?
The 10 minutes I saw was some of the best TV I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the film The Day After Tomorrow. I like the idea that global warming, we think it's going to take 10 years. I like the idea that it might actually suddenly happen really fast.
That's right.
So fast that it chases you down a corridor.
Yes, exactly.
Global warming's chasing me down the corridor!
That's a good idea.
Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But that is actually what happens in that film. To great effect.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up.
Absolutely. No, you could have all sorts of films that, with very worthy messages that actually made those
just heighten it
into real things, like a big racism monster.
Right.
You know? Racism was just a big, scary cloud chasing people.
What colour would he be?
Well, he would change colours.
Ah.
It would be all different colours, because there's all different kinds of racism.
Talking of taking things to the max, is that what we were talking about? Do you mind if I say to the max?
There, you go ahead.
That sentence was sponsored by Pepsi Max.
That was a joke.
There are other Coke products available, though. Cola products. Oops. Anyway, we were talking earlier about creating a team of magician superheroes that would protect Britain's interests.
Oh, yes.
Paul McKenna. Mm-hmm. Because there are certain people in this country who clearly have power, but they're using it for greedy reasons.
Paul McKenna, Darren Brown.
Well, Paul McKenna's being more altruistic. He'll help people quit smoking and stuff. Darren Brown's a very selfish man. He's clearly got very strong powers.
That's right.
And all he's using it for is late-night Channel 4 entertainment.
Exactly. What about Paul Zenon?
Paul Zenon? Yeah, he also has terrific powers, and he's being very selfish.
He's being very selfish.
What a selfish man. Paul Daniels can only think of himself.
What is it with the Pauls? They've all got special
powers.
They've
all got powers. Anyway, we were going to have Tanya Byron She's just very clever. That's a mental power of a kind. And Jeff Capes, because he's strong, even though we think he has a moth farm or something.
Breeds budgies.
Breeds budgies.
Breeds budgies.
But that's super a power budgies. In itself.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're going to team up and become a kind of British task force to deal with problems.
I'd like to have Richard Madeley involved.
Why?
Well, he's got powers. Doesn't he? Powers of perception, yeah.
But you know when TV shows, I'm just ignoring that, you know when TV shows kind of run out of steam, like with all the Channel 4 cooks, they got them together and had a big cook-off.
That's right, yes.
Why don't they do that with magicians?
Yeah.
Why don't they have Derren Brown versus David Blaine?
Right.
Or maybe Paul McKenna versus Chris Angel.
Well, you know, our British superhero team should be teamed up against a common foe. Against Blaine, definitely.
But they should have a big fight in the middle of a high street, maybe in Oxford Street.
Right.
And there should be buses and neon signs that they can throw around or throw people into. You know, the street should be cleared like the climax of Ghostbusters or Superman 2.
Yeah.
And they should just face off.
Well,
they wouldn't be allowed to prepare, and this would be live on television. Mm-hmm. What do you think they would do?
They'd just stand there looking weird, wouldn't they? They'd, like, Blaine would paint something on his hand.
and show it to Brown.
You didn't see Blaine recently when he was on TV doing his, holding his breath underwater thing, and he did a whole interview with a gum shield in. You know a gum shield?
Yeah.
And I think he said he was wearing it at night because he was grinding his teeth, but he chose to keep wearing the gum shield while he was doing an interview on the TV.
Derren Brown would make David Blaine beat himself up.
Definitely.
Or kill himself. He'd turn his brain in on himself.
Brown could take Blaine...
Do you think?
In seconds. He would play a mind game that Blaine hadn't even thought about. Blaine would hold up his hand with an eye drawn on it in pencil, and Brown would say three words, and Blaine would get to his knees and weep.
It's true, isn't it? He'd collapse to his knees. What would happen with Derren Brown versus Paul McKenna?
Sorry. That's Brown.
What if you cleared Regent Street and faced off Derren Brown versus Paul McKenna?
Wow, can you imagine the sparks? Would be flying.
They'd both stop smoking and they'd sleep very well. Yeah, that's for sure.
Exactly. Wow, that's an exciting prospect, man.
The mind boggles. Let's have a free play. This is from Gorky Zygotic Monkey. They're a Welsh band who recently split. That's very sad, isn't it?
Wasn't so recent, though.
How recent was it?
About over 5 years ago.
It's a great shame. But they've split into brilliant fragments. But here's their first album from 1997, was it, Barafundal?
This isn't their first album, though, I don't think, but it was around then. It was around 96, 97, yeah.
This is called Better Rooms. Gorky's Zygotic Monkey from their album Barafundal.
They were ahead of their time, man.
That's amazing, isn't it? What lovely recorders
even
there.
Even though they were heavily retro in a lot of ways, you know what I mean? Their notion about what people were enjoying listening to, the way they picked the certain bits of retro, the psychedelic folky stuff, is now so in fashion.
It's true, isn't it?
They were just too ahead of the curve.
And that's over 10 years old.
That is way over 10 years old.
And when I said it was their first album, what I was trying to say was it was their first album that I bought.
Right.
It was actually their third released album.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's confusing, because there was the earliest one is called Patio, but it might be a compilation of their early stuff. They're all brilliant, those albums, by the way, listeners, if you're not familiar with Gorky's.
Now it's time for a bit more of this business.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
On Text the Nation this week, listeners, we're asking you to email or text in your juvenilia, things that you wrote as a kid, books you tried to write, plays you tried to write, screenplays maybe. We'd be really interested in sections from them. I'm interested to know the characters and the names and stuff like that you came up with. I've handpicked three emails here. You ready?
Yeah.
Here's one from Will Turland. He says, when I was about 8, I wrote a story called The Fifth Dimension. I was the main character, and all of my friends had supporting roles. The story revolved around a magic cupboard, which would take us to the fifth dimension, a strange world full of blue mist, due to the fact that I'd drawn all of the pictures in blue biro. When my mum pointed out that it had some similar ideas to a certain C.S. Lewis novel, I became very angry. I remember shouting at my mum that it was a cupboard, not a wardrobe, and that was completely different. I later wrote a story called Space Chronicles, which was basically Star Wars. I wrote myself in as Luke Skywalker. I guess plagiarism wasn't something I saw as a problem back then.
Yeah, plagiarism is never a problem. It's what you do with someone else's ideas that counts.
It's a way to learn, exactly. To copy something closely.
That's right.
It's a way to make learning fun, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Here's one from Prue and Gaz. They spell their name Prue with a, you know, apostrophe N, apostrophe, mm-hmm. Prue and Gaz.
Prue and Gaz.
Hi, guys. This is from Lex. Why is it from Prue and Gaz, then? This is the most confusing email I've ever read.
Maybe he's using Prue and Gaz's...
Maybe. Maybe he's burgled their house. Ooh. He's using their computer. Hi, guys. I used to write loads of stories when I was a kid. And, of course, I created actual books with cardboard covers made from old cereal boxes or the cardboard inserts that used to come in packets of pantyhose. Nice. And graphic renderings of my stories done on the front in crayon. The one I distinctly remember was a story about my visit to Mars. It wasn't really very interesting, because basically Mars was exactly like Earth, but everything had different names. I ran through various fruits and jungle animals, and then caught my rocket ship home, contributing absolutely nothing to the knowledge base of space travel, except that grapefruits were called Brazelus.
Brazelus?
Yes. Brazelus. The end.
That's what happens when you write stuff on the back of pantyhose packets.
Is it?
Apparently.
Is there a link there?
Well, it sounds like Brazelus is some kind of undies-based fruit.
It does, doesn't it? Let's not dwell on that. Here's one from Leon Trigg. He says, my childhood literary speciality was simply transcribing books in full, such as Day of the Triffids. But when I got to the age 11, I decided to progress onto creating what I consider to be my own original work. I created a magazine that looked at the life and career of Arnold Schwarzenegger to date. It included photocopied pictures and transcribed interviews from bodybuilding magazines. That's always suspicious. The highlight was the letters section, which included questions I'd written to myself, such as, dear Leon, is it true your parents once met Arnold? And, I heard that muscle turns to fat when you stop exercising, Leon. Will Arnold ever get fat? My answers were thoroughly researched and respectful. Yes. They did indeed meet Arnold at Miss Olympia in New York. And don't be a prat. Muscle and fat are two completely different parts of the body. I made a killing with the publication. All 25 copies sold for 25p each at school.
Whoa.
That's over £6 to spend in the tuck shop.
That's good, man. Very impressive.
Isn't that good? I'd like to read that magazine.
Absolutely. Well, listen, if you can send us a copy of any of these things, we'd be delighted.
We'll come back to them, yeah.
Where do people... the addresses would be on the website, right? Six Music website.
Yeah, you know, if you just write BBC on an envelope, it gets to the BBC in Britain, doesn't it?
Adam and Joe, Big British Castle,
London.
See if it gets to us. Actually, that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? Just to test the postal service.
Yeah.
If someone wrote to us, just put Adam and Joe, BBC, brackets, Big British Castle, see if it gets to us. That's all you're allowed to put on the envelope. Just for the price of a stamp. Right, music time now before the news. This is Pixies with Number 13, Baby.
Got hair in a girl that flows to her bones in a cold. It's time for Songs Wars, the war of the songs. A couple of tunes by a couple of prongs. Which will you vote for? Which one is the best? We're putting our songs to the listener test, so check it out.
Song Wars time. Sorry about this, listeners, but you know, that's the way it goes.
Some people like them. We have had one or two emails from people who actually like the songs. Mostly people who prefer yours. If you didn't tune in earlier in the show, listeners, this is officially the worst Song Wars ever. Not only in terms of the choice of subject, it was chosen without due thought or care. Or maybe we shouldn't blame the subject. I think maybe we
It was a good
both,
subject. We were both enthusiastic about it. We both thought, hey, that's a good idea. Write a new birthday song.
You know, I was going to play you listeners the song from Look Around You, the popular BBC Two show, who did a whole middle verse to Happy Birthday.
Yeah.
But we'll play that when we come back in a couple of weeks' time, maybe. Frankly, if we play it, it's going to make ours look even more rubbish.
Right.
Which we can't do.
Usually what happens on Song Wars is maybe one of us will have had a busy week, but the other one will have been able to give over the necessary amount of time to create something decent, listenable. So, you know, even if one of us is total rubbish, the other one might be decent, but this week it's...
both. It's sort of head to head.
Yeah, I don't. I think yours is a lot better than mine. Yours is funny. Mine isn't even funny. It's just winsome and just horrible. And I'm going to speak over it now. So what?
Winsome is good.
Just get mine out of the way. Just press play. Press play. And I'm going to continue to talk over it. At this point in the song, I thought it was good.
Right.
I like that rhyme. I was enjoying the harmonies. I thought it had a touch of, you know, Beach Boys about it.
Well, you know what it reminds me of is Paul McCartney, Wings.
Yes, Wings era. Yes, and nothing bad with that. But then by this point with the Prezzies, I thought, well, that's naive and you know, maybe some people will find it sweet. Melvin Bragg, are you Melvin Bragg?
I am Melvin.
And you're asking me about this song.
Yes. What were you thinking about here, Joe?
Well, I've got to start this interview, Melvin, by saying that the South Bank show really has hit new lows.
Why? Just because... just because we did a thing about...
Well, you got no, because you're doing a thing about this.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah.
This I quite like this bit, Melvin. Yes. You know, because on your special day, you can act like a kind of mad tyrant.
Right.
And I do, because no one can argue with you. This bit's horrible. I really loathe this lyric. It makes me hate myself.
Let's have a listen.
No, let's not. La, 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 la. No, that's
why,
awful.
Why do you say, why do you say, Joe? Why do you say, pass the puzzle?
Hey, that was a sound effect I put in. What was the question, Melvin?
Why do you choose to say, pass the puzzle, instead of pass the parcel?
Pass the parcel.
What
it's
is
just part of my genius.
What a puzzle.
Oh, yeah, that's a good... Well, the last lyric's all right.
Joe, tell us... Were you disappointed at all? Was there an element?
Oh, God. Let's never hear that ever again.
To what extent were you being ironic with this song, Joe?
Completely. Whatever you want. Whatever you want.
And because your previous effort was Dr. Sexy, which was extraordinary and won over a lot of... This is the kind of cross between Melvin Bragg and Lauren Laverne. Run across a lot of people the week before, but this effort seems to be strange. Were you going through some kind of crisis when you wrote this?
Yes, I was.
Oh.
I was going through a drugs and alcohol-induced crisis. one of my friends had taken some, I was having to help them through a tricky patch.
That's amazing, man. Well, okay, now it's, listen.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Here's my one. This is, yeah.
You're going to talk through this one?
Yeah. That was the last thing I did, was put that toot horn on the end there. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, this, if I put a sound effect on, this will raise up the game a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, the backing track, this is a trick that I've used only once before for my other worst Song Wars song, which was the one about the Loch Ness Monster. I used the, a thing called...
That song, you're mad!
Really?
Can I be Makita Oliver interviewing you?
Okay.
Is that her name?
Makita Oliver.
How good is this?
Thanks very much, Makita. Is it true, Makita, that you're a little bit terse and grumpy in real life?
Wow, how great is this?
You're very attractive.
I'm loving this.
Yes, thank you very much, Makita. So I used a Q chord for this. Also known as an omnichord, and it's an amazing bit of kit, can I say that?
Yes.
That you can get in a music shop, and it's basically, it changes the chord. When you just have to hit a button, it'll change the whole chord of any song pattern that you're playing, and it's got various song patterns loaded. So it really is the ultimate. Brian Eno's very fond of using the Q chord.
That's one of the many similarities you have with him.
Yeah, but he doesn't use it quite so witlessly as I do.
Right.
I let it run and then just randomly press different chords.
Yeah, I like this bit. This is this the bit about dying?
Yeah, this is when I'm going up to E and B.
Wow, this is like that show where they,
going to modulate again now in a second, wait.
What's that show where they get the master tracks of something and then get the producer to talk you through it?
Classic albums.
It's like one of those.
I love those shows.
Four. Nearly finished.
There you go. So that was my birthday time.
Yours is good. I think yours deserves to win. Send your votes in, either Adam or Joe, to adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. But if you can't be bothered, then that's fine. We're not going to get upset. There's nothing really at stake this week. We're just pleased that it's out of the way.
Yeah, it would have been an option just not to play them again.
We should have spoke to each other in the week and just called the whole thing off.
I did think about it.
You should have, man. In future, I'm always happy to call it off.
Well, we might have made one person happy, who knows, and if that's happened, it makes up for all the people we've made angry.
Probably Private Ryan.
Now, here's Vampire Weekend with their superb song Oxford Comma with the swearing removed.
good, isn't it? I mean, you can't go wrong. That's a classic single right there. Is that out?
Yeah.
This must be on the album.
Must be,
And the album's out.
Riding high on the charts. Yeah, but I'm wondering if it's out as a single and how it's performing in the charts. I've got... Do you know what number one is?
Singles anymore. Number one is... number one, the Ting Tings are at 2, Madonna's at 3. I'm not sure who's at number one. This is on the iTunes chart. Who would be at number one? Probably Rihanna or something like that.
Is the iTunes chart's not the same as the national chart, though, right?
That's the only one I personally pay attention to, though.
I've got absolutely no clue what's at number one.
It's probably Madonna and Timbalcake
in the chart.
Did you see her at the Radio 1 Big Weekend?
Manana?
Yeah.
No.
As everyone else on every radio station in the world must have talked about her so-called guitar playing.
No,
that was so embarrassing.
Was it?
She was doing some awful song about Guy Ritchie going to America, and it had the most uninspiring video projections behind her, just of close-ups of package tags, all dissolving into each other. It was terribly banal, and then she got a guitar out and did the worst fake strumming I've ever seen.
Oh.
If I was one of her kids, I would be so ashamed of my mum.
Come on.
I'd go, come on, Mum. Well, I'd be proud in every other respect, but I'd say, Mum, what are you doing?
Mum, you're a feminist icon. What
especially
are you doing?
When she's got the actual guy who really is playing the guitar just standing clearly visible to her left.
Well, it's just a kind of showbiz flourish, isn't
no,
it?
No, but she wasn't. If there'd been strings on that guitar, or if her hands had come in contact with the strings...
Yeah.
The noise would have been utterly ridiculous.
I think she can play guitar, though, Manana.
Well, she famously did some live at one of her concerts, didn't she? But she seems to have... She doesn't bother anymore.
She's not bothering. She's concentrating on the calf muscles.
Yeah, it's time to wrap up Text the Nation.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Yes, so we've been asking you about things you authored as a young child, books, plays, film scripts that you wrote when you were, say, like, under 13. We've had a lot of responses to this, so I haven't been able to read them all. I'm sorry about that if I didn't read yours. But here's a good one from Matt from Old Trafford. When we were teenagers, my friend Trev drew a cartoon called The Adventures of Champa Hadley. His catchphrases included, Astronomy Uda! And mine are also Satchel Rands!
Wow.
It also featured a badger in a gas mask. I've never forgotten it. Astronomy Uda! Stephen!
Stephen!
There's a whole film emerging here.
I'm coming. Astronomy Uda!
Hi, Adam and Joe. I was a vile little poet as a child, says Natasha in Tooting. I would deliberately leave my works around the house so that my mum's visitors would read them and praise them. I also clocked that I'd seem cleverer by not using rhyme. Mm-hmm. My poetry career peaked at 11 with the publication in the school magazine of my two greatest works. These were the nihilistic After the Holocaust.
Oh, brilliant.
Whose opening line was desolation, despair. And the inadvertently erotic... Climax of the Night. A description of fireworks night. Oh, Natasha.
That's good. I bet they were great, Natasha.
I bet they were good. Shell says, this won't compare to Stephen, but my own immature contribution to the world of theatre was Grease 3.
Wow.
I wrote it with my friend Emma, and we put it on at our youth club. I played the lead role of the good girl who is led astray by the cool girls and tries smoking. Ugh. We even made fake cigarettes by putting talcum powder in cotton wool, wrapping it up in a tube. When you blew in one end, the talcum powder puffed out the other to look like smoke.
Very good.
I don't remember much about it now, although I do know that some parents of the other cast members made a video, so there may be proof of it still.
Wow.
The song by the main character, brackets me, was sung to the theme music of Grange Hill. Not the old music, the new mid-90s one. That one. Good. It was called I Wish I Was Tough. I wish I was tough, I wish I was tougher, then I'd be cool, hang out with the cool kids. I wanna smoke fags, cause I look...
Was it like that?
I don't know. Hannah? Was it like that? Shell.
Is that Hannah?
Her name was Shell.
Shell, sorry.
She was 11 when that happened.
I'm having a little... my brain gets very addled in the last 10 minutes of the show.
Time for one more?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah? Okay, here's a depressing one. When I was 12, I wrote a punk song called I Don't Want to Be Taken Away, brackets by the Men in White Coats. Rather prescient, I was sectioned at 28.
Oh, man.
P.S. They don't wear white coats anymore. that's an anonymous text. It's fine to read that out. Mental illness is a thing that happens in people's lives, and people get over it as well. Jude?
I'm not
All right?
I'm mental, all right. Now.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think that's how
no,
I meant it, Jude.
That's not right to say that. Jude, you're fired. So there we go. Thanks very much for all your texts and emails on that subject. If you've got something that you've... If this has inspired you to look through boxes and dig something out... then please scan it in or copy some stuff across, and when we come back, we're away for 2 weeks, but when we come back, we might read some of that. Some of our listeners' great...
Mike Reed?
Early... when we come back, Mike Reed will be live in the studio reading some of your juvenilia, possibly.
Wow. We don't know who's going to fill in for us, do we?
We don't. It could be anybody.
It's exciting. Imagine if it was Ant and Dec.
Imagine.
They wouldn't be allowed, though, would they?
No, they'd be banned.
The most evil men in the world.
They're Britain's most wanted men.
Which one do you think is more evil?
The evil-looking one.
Ant.
Yes. He's the one that schemes it all. The other one's too weak to resist.
That's what's going on in his high forehead. Evil.
Pure evil.
Pure evil. Thinking of new ways to rip people off. That's what he's always
thinking.
Such
a shame.
I'm joking. I love Ant and Dec, and I think it's such a shame that their good name is being besmirched. It's not their fault. It's Robbie Williams' fault. Now, is this my track?
Oh,
Holger
yes,
Chukai?
Yes, of yes.
Now, can we have a consensus about how you pronounce this guy's name? Holger C-Z-U-K-A-Y. I would say Chukai.
I'll agree with you.
Zuke? I'm not sure. Anyway, he's one of the founder members of Can, of course, and this is from one of his solo albums, all of which are extraordinary and odd, and this is another kind of slightly... holiday-ish song. It's called Cool by the, Cool in the Pool. It's very odd. Check this out. Let's get hot.
On the dancing spot. Oh, let us get hot. On the dancing spot.
That's Cool in the Pool by Holger Zuke. Not sure exactly how you pronounce his name.
And don't forget, listeners, that Adam, you're off on a proper holiday, right? A
proper
sunny holiday.
Holidays,
you're
yeah.
very lucky.
Thanks very much.
So we're away for a couple of weekends. Someone mysterious will be filling in, but we'll be back in 3 weekends' time. And we got to say thank you to Leon Trigg, who, if you were listening earlier, emailed in about his homemade Schwarzenegger tribute magazine. He scanned the whole thing in and sent it to us, and we haven't laughed so hard in the studio for a good while. It's quite the funniest thing I've ever seen in terms of self-published mags. And we're going to try and put that up, Leon, with your permission. We're going to try and put it up on our Six Music website so other people can share the joy.
Yeah, so if you could email us, just let us know if that's all right.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely extraordinary.
We had some great stuff sent through, so thank you so much for all your emails and texts. As usual, you know, we're spoilt by your efforts, and we really appreciate them. We'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Liz Kershaw is coming up, and have a great couple of weeks. Love you, bye.
Bye.